here in North Dakota and Wyoming. And as I mentioned earlier, Your Honor, Jim is going to be talking about the soil reclamation plan for the project. Jim?
Thank you. Can you hear me back there? Okay. The soil handling plan for South Hart Coal Company has had some comments made about it, whether or not it is inadequate. Achieving the soil depths required by law will be costly. The proposed mining plan does not begin to address the scale of reclamation of the efforts needed, and the major modifications of the plan would be necessary to comply with state and federal law. Next slide. In our response is basically based on the review of the PSC, we are redoing some of the initial work that we've done. We're in the process of recalculating the total volumes of topsoil, subsoil, and suitable strata that may be needed for final reclamation, and updating the handling, transport, stockpiling, and replacement plans. While the cost of doing all this soil handling and everything else is very costly, it has always been reviewed by the company proposing the project, and we have deemed it to be economically feasible, so there shouldn't be any additional cost to the mine. The proposed mine plan does address the efforts required for mining and reclamation, but with the update, more details will be provided as required by the PSC. Next slide. The updating process will address issues and will comply with all applicable federal and state statutes and rules. The program that we initially proposed had all the components that were necessary to be deemed complete. Now we're just fine-tuning the process and developing all the procedures and clarifying some of the problems and issues. Because of the sodic soils, major modification to the plan will be required to comply with the state and federal law. We have been well aware since the beginning of the project and the initial overburden drilling sampling that there is a problem with high SAR values and some other components within the overburden. All sodic materials encountered during the mining process will be placed in the spoil areas for final replacement. That will include any topsoil areas that we have found that are also sodic in nature and should not be used in the reclamation process as a soil replacement. The SPGM replacement depth is based on the quality of the spoil material in the final rough grading spoil areas. In other words, as the mine goes along, the spoil is placed into these areas. It will be final graded to the approximate regional contour or to the post-mining contour that's been approved by the PSC. We will predict the quality of the graded spoil material, and based on the quality of that predicted spoil material, we will define exactly how deep the soil replacement will be. If we have high SAR material, that will probably be 48 inches. But depending upon the quality of the material that's actually being excavated and is in the final surface, on the final graded areas, it may be anywhere between 24, 36, or 48 inches of depth. Okay. We have estimated the quality of the final rough graded spoil materials based on the proposed mine plan. Based on this estimate spoil, South Hart Coal determined the required SPGM placement volumes and provided a plan describing where the SPGM was to be placed, to be removed and replaced. We're going to be using, Adam spoke to before, there are over 2,000 soil samples that have been taken. Over 1,200 of the soil samples will be used in determining the depth of the subsoil and topsoil that can be replaced. These 1,200 soil samples average one per every 5 acres. South Hart is in the process of developing a new topsoil and subsoil removal and replacement plan based on these data, which will address the handling of all sodic soils. If the volumes of suitable topsoil and subsoil are insufficient to meet SPGM respread requirements, additional suitable strata will be identified for use as SPGM as well. This suitable material will be identified from an additional 56 shallow overburden drill holes that were drilled to 20 feet with 22-foot sampling intervals so that we can find this replacement strata that will be so that we meet the depth requirements on replacement of SPGM. As we noted before, also that information will come from the 29 overburden holes. Next slide. Hope you can see the map. Basically, the outside boundary line there shown is the permit boundary. The boundary lines within the permit area are actually the proposed pit disturbance areas. All the little green dots or the green text that you see there represent the 1,208 soil sample holes that will be used to determine the soil depth that of replacement at the South Hart Mine. And here is just another picture of the overburden sample holes that we have drilled. As it was discussed previously, we have one hole per 37 acres. This exceeds the requirement for the PSC, and that information will also be used in determining our soil replacement requirements. That concludes my remarks.
Your Honor, our last presenter is Rick Kinsella. Rick is a senior consultant with Golder Associates, Inc. He has 33 years of engineering experience serving as project manager and design engineer in the mining, environmental, waste management, oil and gas, water, wastewater fields. He has an MS in civil engineering from Montana State University and is a registered professional engineer in Colorado. Rick is going to be talking about some of the issues that were raised by the coalition and the public, specifically coal bed methane, uranium releases, paleontological resources, BLM issues with respect to unsuitability for mining coal, and some of the other responses that the public has made here this evening.
Thank you, Lawrence. The coalition has expressed a concern that there's been insufficient analysis of methane at the site, and if significant amounts are present, that recovery may cause quantifiable impacts, or lack of recovery, on the other hand, may result in release of potent greenhouse gas directly to the atmosphere. Based on some work done by the North Dakota Geologic Survey, basically a report in Volume 28 of their newsletter, number 2, I believe that was published in the winter of 2001, South Hart Coal does not believe that significant coal bed methane development potential exists at the South Hart Lignite Mine. I'd like to read a brief quote from the state geologist's report, that Volume 28, number 2, in the winter of 2001. Excuse me. Unlike the area near Gillette, Wyoming, the mineable deposits of lignite in North Dakota, i.e. those within about 170 feet of the surface, do not appear to have much CBM, that's coal bed methane, potential. The coal seam is going to be mined at the South Hart Lignite Mine. The D seam lies significantly above that 170-foot limit that the state geologists believe where there might be potential for coal bed methane in North Dakota. We've heard in oral testimony here throughout the day and in written comments from the coalition that concerns about the presence of uranium and other airborne contaminants at the South Hart Lignite Mine and the potential public health impacts of exposure to those constituents that may be released by mining activities. South Hart Coal recognizes that, you know, that there is information out there that can be a cause for concern, and they are completing a human health and ecological risk assessment. That risk assessment is going to address the potential for the airborne constituents of concern and will be submitted to the North Dakota Department of Health in conjunction with the air quality permit application for the mine. Moving on to another concern, there was a concern expressed about archaeological resources within the permit boundary and whether or not those archaeological resources might be disturbed. South Arc Coal conducted a comprehensive baseline archaeological evaluation, prepared the required report in conjunction with the permit that was pulled from the State Historic Preservation Office. That report, you know, identified the archaeological resources on the site and also included a mitigation plan in conjunction with the cultural resources that were identified. That mitigation plan included a 100-foot avoidance area that's going to be installed or placed around those cultural resources. The State Historic Preservation Office accepted our mitigation plan. However, in response to comments from the public and from the PSC, we are going to make a modification to our revised permit application and include some additional marking around those cultural resources. There'll be steel markers placed around that 100-foot zone, and it'll be marked as a no disturbance area. The coalition has expressed a concern about the BLM designating federal coal adjacent to the mine as unsuitable for coal mining. They also requested that analysis of impacts of this area be presented to the PSC. South Arc Coal does not believe that there's a need or basis to provide that requested analysis. First of all, the application does not include the mining of any federal coal. I'm going to talk in a subsequent slide here about how mining operations will not waste, damage, or degrade any federal coal. And we also believe that the rationale that the BLM used for excluding federal coal in the Heart River watershed from leasing is no longer applicable, i.e. the city of Dickinson no longer obtains its water supply from the Heart River. A similar comment and an associated issue was that the impact of federal coal may not be addressed in the application. Our response here is that South Arc Coal plans only to disturb the surface adjacent to the boundaries of the BLM federal coal tracts. The proposed final high wall is designed with a 42-degree slope from the top of the cut to the bottom of the D coal seam. Therefore, there will be a coal buffer left in place adjacent to the federal coal tracks. In addition, as a part of final reclamation, all coal seams will be covered with spoil to remove the potential for spontaneous combustion of the D seam. The federal coal will be protected from any waste, damage, or degradation by this coal buffer. And the next slide provides a graphic of how this is going to work. If you'll see, the red depicts the coal seam. There's a vertical greenish line that would be a section boundary. Coming in from that, roughly 100 and some feet would be our pit boundary. The line you see coming down at a 45-degree angle would be the high wall. So in essence, from where the D coal is going to be mined, that's marked private coal on the slide, back to where the federal coal would be left in place is 208 foot, and that separation is going to provide a buffer that's going to prevent waste, damage, or degradation of federal coal. We will include additional information in a revised application to respond to the BLM for this information in the revised permit application. Next, I'm going to turn to a group of four slides. These are pretty general. They address some broad issues, And we're terming these just an initial response to some of the other public comments. These were public comments that were received in writing by the PSC. Also, we heard, oral testimony regarding these issues this morning and this evening. The first comment that I'll very generally address is concerns about potential agricultural impacts. South Oak Coal believes it's important to really recognize that the primary direct impacts to agriculture are going to be limited to the area within the mine permit boundary. And when you consider that, you have to acknowledge that the landowners within the mine have exercised the right to lease their coal and their surface. Those landowners fully recognize that their land will be removed from production until reclamation is complete. And I know there's been a lot of discussion and concern about this overall issue, but if you look at it in a large context, the acreage removed from production from this mine is quite small compared to the 39 million acres of farm and ranch land in North Dakota. An associated concern, that again with a lot of discussion, is the potential for loss of water for agricultural use. Various presenters here tonight for South Ark Coal have talked about that, and I'll just reiterate that South Ark Coal is fully committed to the restoration and replacement of water supplies that may be impacted by mining in accordance with North Dakota rules and statute. And their approach to meeting these requirements has been, again, conducting that detailed characterization of local water resources that Adam talked about, including our Well and Spring survey program, conducting an evaluation of our probable hydrologic consequences, looking at our potential impacts of our mining operations, designing of a monitoring system to help us assess potential impacts, and development of mitigation plans and a hydrologic reclamation plan that's going to deal with those impacts. We've heard a bit in oral testimony about potential impacts to wildlife. Written comments were received by the PSC regarding impacts to wildlife. One comment in particular felt concerned that deer and pheasants within the mine and within the surrounding area would basically disappear from the site. South Ark Coal does not believe that mining will cause wildlife to disappear from the mine or the surrounding area. South Ark Coal's permit application includes a fish and wildlife enhancement plan in accordance with North Dakota rule. And that plan's developed, following the requirements of that rule, that to the extent possible, we're going to minimize our disturbances and adverse impacts to fish and wildlife. One element of that is there is a valuable habitat, which is the deciduous stream bank habitat along the South Branch Hart River. In response to a PSC comment, we're going to provide some documentation relative to that habitat. But that habitat in our mine plan has essentially been preserved. It's going to be a valuable area to maintain wildlife within the area, which will feed back into the mine site as reclamation proceeds. The contemporaneous reclamation that South Ark Coal is committed to, that's going to minimize surface disturbance, will help with our fish and wildlife enhancement, and the permit application also includes a wildlife monitoring plan to do an annual assessment of how we're performing with respect to fish and wildlife enhancement. And I think this is the slide everybody's been looking for, the final slide. It's a discussion of hazardous waste and materials disposal. There were a number of general public written comments that our interpretation of those comments was that the public believed that there was going to be hazardous waste and materials disposal directly within the mine, and that an on-site landfill was going to be located within the mine. We'd like to clarify those concerns by letting everyone know that no on-site landfill is proposed for the South Hart Lignite Mine. There isn't going to be any hazardous waste or hazardous material disposal within the mine. Those materials will be disposed of off-site at approved disposal facilities. And as allowed, although as allowed by North Dakota rule, there will be some non-coal waste, for example, wood materials and concrete materials that will be disposed of within the permit area, but those will be managed as allowed but under North Dakota rule by the provisions required by North Dakota. That concludes my presentation, Your Honor.
Your Honor, and that does conclude South Hart Coal's response to the presentations that were made earlier this evening and this morning. Your Honor, as you pointed out earlier, there's going to be a continuance of this matter. We're going to recess, I assume, and then ultimately we're going to reconvene after South Hart Coal has had an opportunity to respond to the deficiencies as well as maybe respond to some of the written comments that have been made. In light of that and the fact that we're going to have a briefing schedule and it's nearly midnight, we are going to reserve our opportunity to make any kind of closing comment until we reconvene the informal conference at a later date.
Thank you, Mr. Bender. I believe that completes the session that was noticed. As you recall, I indicated that we would reconvene tomorrow at 9 a.m. if necessary. I'm not exactly sure where we're at other than a feeling that we have completed the testimony of all the interested persons. But perhaps, and this is, I'm just throwing this out there, perhaps we should meet tomorrow at 9 a.m. in case there are other people. Any thoughts about that, Ms. Lucer? It seems like your presentation was complete, correct?
Our presentation is complete, yes. Mm-hmm.
And yours is complete?
Yes, Your Honor.
There were no public witnesses this morning. It seems like perhaps the bulk, if not all, of the public witnesses testified this evening. Any thoughts about whether we should reconvene tomorrow at 9 a.m.? Mr. Grumman, you have any thoughts about that?
I don't, Your Honor.
I would just say that in our notification of people that we were aware of who might want to come here, we stressed coming this evening, and I have not heard that. Wade decided to leave. He missed this last part, so whatever. Mm-hmm. He owes me one. As far as I know, all of the efforts to bring people to work for tonight, and I don't know no one no one has told me they plan to come tomorrow.
Yeah, it might be futile to come tomorrow.
We don't have a problem with not doing it.
All right. Because we, in the notice, indicated that we would hold the hearing open at 9 a.m. if necessary, and because it seems like all the possibilities were exhausted today of those wanting to present information, and because we're having another informal conference to be scheduled as we move through this process, I'm going to dispense with the hearing tomorrow at 9 a.m. If we do identify anybody who couldn't be here and wants to provide information, that could certainly be provided in writing to the commission. So, as it stands right now, we're in the process of responding to the technical issues of the PSC. When that process is complete, I guess South Hart will respond, and then you may issue a second letter. Yep. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay. Will it be after the second letter, then, that we'll have the scheduling of the next segment in the informal conference, or will we do that before that letter goes out?
I'm assuming it probably won't happen until we determine that all of the technical deficiencies have been adequately addressed.
Okay.
And you know how long that'll take. I guess right now it's in South Hart's court until they respond, then considering the number of items, I think it's likely to take us at least, I'd say, probably 2 months to get through that, just with other things we have going on, so.
So my indication that it might be as early as the end of the summer might be a little optimistic.
I would think so.
Okay, well, I'll certainly be in contact with the Reclamation Division about where we're at in this process, and perhaps, I mean, there might be a need for another pre-hearing conference to talk about when we're going to have this hearing and how we're going to do it again. Yes, Ms. Lusser.
Is the plan to put the comments and the reports that have been submitted up on the PSC's website?
I don't know if it'll be on the website, but it'll certainly be on the docket. Is that going to be in the website?
If it's on the docket, it'll be on the website.
Okay. Okay.
That's what I mean, on the
okay.
docket.
Okay, then yes, the answer is yes.
Okay.
All right, is there anything else anyone wants to bring to the attention of the commission at this time before we close this segment of the informal conference? Okay, nothing else. It's almost 12 midnight and a few minutes before, and we'll stand recessed until another notice of informal conference is issued specifying a date or dates, time, and location. Thank you all very much.